fans, this is DC Talk, episode number 153, here on May 30th, 2021. For all those who are here on the Memorial Day weekend, we want to stop and say, first of all, we hope you have a very safe weekend. If you are traveling, if you were cooking, having a cookout, or whatever you're doing, please enjoy yourself, but please be safe. And with that also, I do want to make mention that the reason why we do celebrate this day is because all those who have given their lives so we could podcast to you like we're doing tonight, freely. And thank you to all those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice as we remember you this day, and for the families as they're going through, those who have lost a loved one in battle or in a fight or in a war or wherever, our thoughts and comforts and prayers are with you as well. So as you enjoy those ribs or whatever you're going to eat this weekend, please take a moment to take a moment of silence and remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice so you could enjoy those ribs. With all that being said, Carrie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm almost done with season 5 of Lucifer, which dropped on Friday. So I've got a couple more episodes to go. I'm not sure I'm ready. But we're gonna give this a shot, and I have all of tomorrow to recover. So,
ooh, so you haven't finished yet? You're getting close.
No, I'm two episodes from the end. I've already gotten a couple of spoilers, not from Twitter. Lucifer Twitter has
been good.
Yeah, Lucifer Twitter has been awesome. YouTube, on the other hand,
not so awesome.
They've been posting clips with spoilers in the title, and that is just no bueno. So yeah, Lucifer Twitter, you guys are awesome. YouTube, not so much.
Get off YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good deal. I have just started season 10 Friends. I am going through my Friends watch because I've never seen it, so I just finished season 9. I'm in the final 18 episodes of the show, finally.
Mazel tov.
Yes. It's almost like an accomplishment when you feel like you can finally say you finally watched something everybody else watches.
Is it, though?
That depends on what it is.
Is it, though? Because I've never felt compelled to go back and watch Friends at all.
I've had people tell me, so I went back and watched it. I mean, I've seen Seinfeld, so I might as well go and watch Friends too.
Yeah, I've never been compelled to go back and watch Seinfeld either. So.
Oh my! Well, now I can say though that I've seen it, so all the jokes, all the Friends jokes, are not kind of like over my head anymore. So I've seen it.
Well, I've seen enough episodes of Friends over the years that I do get some of the jokes. But it's a sitcom that doesn't involve nerds, and yeah, I did drop Big Bang Theory after like 7 seasons because I got bored and I had way too much else to watch. But yeah. This is a series that involves either sci-fi or fantasy or vampires, so I was not compelled to watch, you know, more than what I had seen. We won't talk about here the things I've seen that involve vampires because
it's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast, yeah.
Well, the good news is once I'm done with Friends, I can finally go back to probably do a Smallville to finish my Smallville rewatch because I am in season 6, halfway through there.
Yeah, but so, you've probably forgotten everything that happened the first 6 seasons. You might have to start over again.
No, I'm not starting over again. I do know I know what happened. Jensen Ackles is there as the Green Arrow, and they're trying to figure out who the Green Arrow is.
Jensen Ackles?
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, Jensen Ackles was in the first season.
No, it's okay. It's not him. It's
Justin Hartley.
Yes, Justin Hartley. Sorry. For some reason, I get those two mixed up.
Mike is fired again.
I'm fired. It's great. I love it.
I mean, this is the series that he compares all of the CW stuff against, and he doesn't.
It's a lot to remember in 10 seasons of Smallville.
Yeah,
there's a lot to remember.
There is a lot to remember.
So I mess up one name. It's okay.
Yeah, you mixed up the name of a guy who was in one season with the name of a guy who was like six.
In my defense, he was in like the previous season right before I started season six. So I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and then he started Supernatural, and so he couldn't have been on Smallville.
No. He could have. But we're not here to talk about Smallville.
But we digress.
Even though it is a DC property, we are not here to talk about Smallville. Although I could spend hours talking about Superman and Lois and how it is probably the number one show outside of Stargirl on the CW at this current moment. I will fight that to the grave because I truly and 100% believe that.
Plus, we're kind of annoyed at CW right now, so...
Yes, we'll explain why, but...
That'll all become clear soon.
Superman Lois is so good. Oh my goodness, yeah. So freaking good. But we can't spend time on that tonight. We have, because we have a lot of news to go through, so Carrie, how about hit us up with some Flash news today?
Okay, so just at the top here, we are... going to hit a couple of spoilers when we get into our character profile for Superman and Lois, and we are going to hit a couple of spoilers for Black Lightning at the top here. So if you are not caught up on Black Lightning and don't want spoilers, you might want to skip ahead a little bit, a few minutes, and then go watch the season finale. And come back and talk and listen to the rest of us then. But before we get to the Black Lightning finale or start talking about that, we do have a word that DC's Naomi has been ordered to series at the CW.
Okay. Again, I still don't know too much about Naomi.
Me neither, but I am looking forward to getting to know this character. On the flip side, the Black Lightning spinoff Painkiller has not been picked up by CW, which is annoying.
Yeah, I'm officially. I told Carrie online this week. I said I'm probably officially done with CW. She said, "No, you're not." And I said,
because if you were done with CW, you wouldn't be watching Superman and Lois or Legends or Stargirl. Yeah.
That is true.
But they do make it kind of hard. And it does kind of suck that we are losing Painkiller. I thought what they were doing with the character, especially in the finale, was interesting, and I was kind of looking forward to maybe eventually having, you know, the Pierce, one or more of the Pierces show up.
Do you think we're not going to get any of them at all anymore?
I don't know. I think, and this kind of goes into one of our other CW headlines. Is that apparently the producers were talking about Black Lightning Flash crossovers for this last season.
I think it's possible.
And there is a bit of difficulty, as we've discussed previously, because Black Lightning films in Atlanta. And the rest of the CW verse films in, well, with the exception of Stargirl, films in Vancouver.
Right.
But they had been talking about, you know, just, you know, random crossovers where, like, you know, Jefferson and Lynn come over to dinner with Barry and Iris, and
yeah.
You know, discussing the fact that Barry was raised by a black man, and how that, you know, informs the way Barry is, and stuff like that. There had also been apparently discussions about getting either Thunder or Lightning, or both, over onto Batwoman.
Okay.
Apparently, the plans are still there. It's just that, you know, with the pandemic, things kind of got shut down.
Yeah,
and
you know, it's so okay. I hate that they don't have Painkiller as their own show coming. I do like the fact that we could still get Jefferson on as a crossover on other ones now, because he's kind of free now that he's not tied to his own show.
Right.
And I would not.
And who's
would,
to say, though, that Painkiller can't show up on the other shows either?
And I really hope he does, because I genuinely thought that that his character was extremely intriguing, living inside of his mind with both the man, those two, they counteracted. Oh man, it was so great. But I really want to know. So we've had two shows called a pilot and then canned. We've had Green Arrow and the Canaries. We've had Painkiller. And it's kind of wondering, okay, what do we think? Because we know Black Lightning's over with now. Supergirl's going to come to an end here this year. So we're going to be left with Legends, the new one, Naomi.
Flash,
which...
Stargirl,
and Superman and Lois. So you got your five
Batwoman.
Well, and Batwoman. Although I do foresee Flash probably coming to an end after the next season. I think next season could be its last. Just the way they're going, that and quite honestly, I'd be okay with it. I'm really hoping the next chapter or book, because they just closed off a chapter the other week, gets a little better, because I'm going to be quite honest, I was not too interested in the whole mom, dad, kids, Speed Force.
I was. I thought that was fascinating.
I felt like it was one of those stories that could. It's kind of like Supergirl the other year when they had Rain, where I feel like, you know, they could really wrap this up in a few episodes instead of it didn't feel like it needed to be a story. So I am glad they didn't make the Speed Force the big villain for the whole season. Mm-hmm. I like it when shows take like 6 or 7 episodes, tell a story, 6 or 7 more, tell another story, and break it up into books and chapters. I really like it when they did, and I mm-hmm. think that's what they did for Flash, so I'm interested in what the next story is going to be.
I have a feeling we may be seeing Reverse Flash again.
And I really hope so, considering fact that, of course, we mentioned it last time on the podcast, that is going to be... I can't remember. Tom Cavanaugh's last season. So, I don't know what CW's doing. I am sad that Black Lightning is not going to be kicking up the spinoff of which is Painkiller, but I am excited they could potentially do crossovers with those characters.
Well, okay. Shows. Okay. Well, here's my thinking. Yeah, I am disappointed that Black Green Arrow and the Canaries, as well as Painkiller, didn't get picked up by CW. However, and maybe they're rethinking this, you know, in light of everything that happened with the pandemic. There are only so many time slots that they can fill.
Right.
And as much as you and I probably would mind the packing more DC Universe shows onto the network, they can't just
pack the
CW with DC stuff. They have to cater to people who do not necessarily care about comic book shows.
But
so
I get that, but they're losing two series and only picking up one. Because they're losing Supergirl and Black Lightning, but they're picking up Naomi.
But technically, because Stargirl is moving over to the CW permanently, it's kind of a wash.
I mean, I thought it was on CW last year.
Yeah, but it was on CW, like the edited version was on CW, and then there was the full version that was on DC Universe. Now it's moved on to CW permanently. We don't know what that's going to do to the content of the show, because I didn't watch the CW version. I watched the DC Universe version.
Right.
And also, Stargirl is joining the Arrowverse, kind of, sort of. They haven't really explained how that's going to happen yet. But, like I said, it's a bit of a wash.
Yeah.
Stargirl also wasn't airy with everything else.
Right. I mean, I guess it's okay, because on HBO Max, we know we're getting Titans, we know we're getting Doom Patrol, we know we're got a Green Lantern series coming. We know we have a Justice League Dark series coming. So I understand we're getting all these, but I don't know.
We're getting Peacemaker.
Right, we're getting a Peacemaker. So I guess I'm just I mean maybe they're trying to rotate CW stuff off and push everything eventually into the future onto HBO Max, which would make sense to have all that the properties on one thing. So I could see that happening.
Well, I don't know how much this factors into it, but I can see and maybe this is something Eric or Tim or one of the guys on other guys or Lou or someone else who's more on who has more into like you know just media in general, but I can see a point where with the way things are going our network TV goes away completely,
yeah,
and you just have these streaming services, and it's gonna suck for the people who have crap internet, like say my parents, but you know eventually you know once you know it the you know broadband infrastructure gets modernized for the entire country, that might not be so much of an issue.
Yeah,
and then there, you know, maybe a couple of streaming services get bundled into someone's you know, internet service or whatever, and
I mean that's pretty much what happens now. If you go get something like from Verizon, you're going to get Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu bundle for like 6 months. So yeah.
Like T-Mobile does the same thing, but unfortunately, you need to have at least two lines in order to get it. And since I live alone, that doesn't work. I was like, what am I gonna do with two phone lines?
Oh boy!
But anyway, we've talked about this a bit enough.
I think we can move on to something.
Well, to something that Mike is kind of excited about when I posted it to him. Yes. So the CW has posted its fall lineup, and it included an announcement that we are getting an animated Bevo Christmas special or holiday special.
Can I just say Star Wars holiday special in the Bevo form? Just saying.
Well, I mean, the Marvel people are getting a Guardians Christmas special, so why not?
I love that, though.
It is going to be apparently animated, and Victor Garber, who was one half of Firestorm, is going to be returning to be the narrator.
Oh my goodness. And then it can't get any better.
It's going to be called Bevo Saves Christmas.
Bevo Saves Christmas.
Because of course.
Oh my goodness.
It'll be starring Ben Diskin as the voice of Bevo, Kimiko Glenn as the voice of Tweebo. This is actually kind of sounding like a bit of a Teletubbies play on words.
Oh boy.
Here. Yvette Nicole Brown as Turbo, Keith Ferguson as Fleebo, Chris Kattan as the voice of Sprinkles, Ernie Hudson as the voice of Santa, and Victor Garber is going to be the narrator.
Oh my. Now what we really need is a painkiller. Into him somehow. Can we just see Painkiller and Bebo interact with one another?
That would be insane. at some point they need to maybe I am terrible with names. They need to at least bring Painkiller onto like one episode of Legends just so
please
he can. Just so both halves of him can be like, WTF.
It's going on this show.
It's going on. where the AT double hockey sticks am I, and these people are all insane.
Hey, I can picture him trying some of the weed.
I don't know that that would be a good idea. Probably, you know, not. just in case PK takes over. Yes. The brain for a bit.
No, he won't do it, because remember, spoiler for Black Lightning, if you haven't seen the season finale, spoiler in 3, 2, 1, remember, TC took that part of his memory out. It's just he was all memory of Pierce family.
No. TC took out the kill order.
Right.
On the Pierce family. That doesn't do anything to fix the whole split personality thing.
Well, that's what makes it so fun.
Speaking of Painkiller, there have been rumors that even though Painkiller is not going to CW, it may go to HBO Max. Your theory that everything eventually will go to HBO Max may have some legs.
Yeah. I think they're going to finish up the shows they've got right now on CW. But if you watch CW, even like the Naomi one feels like it's got like Riverdale vibes, Nancy Drew vibes. It's got the vibes of kind of a teen drama kind of a vibe, which has always been CW. So I could see them kind of moving this stuff out, because to be quite honest, Flash is not really a teen drama. Legends is not really a teen drama. Batwoman isn't really much of a teen. So a lot of their DC stuff is not really much teen drama.
Well, and stuff like Superman and Lois has been, they had the first 6 episodes on HBO Max for like a month or so, and then those went off, and they'll probably come back at some point.
Right. Everything does.
Everything does.
So I hope that does end up on HBO Max.
Yeah. Speaking of HBO Max stuff, Bridgerton's Freddie Stroma is replacing Chris Conrad as Vigilante in the spinoff. I have not seen Bridgerton, so I have no form of reference here. However, the Vigilante was Adrian Chase was the alter ego of Adrian Chase on the Arrowverse, and still is, apparently. So
we know this is
a parallel Earth Earth Prime knows nothing about anymore, because you know the multiverse is
there
around but not anymore.
I was just going to say it was for creative differences, but they parted amicably, so they didn't. There wasn't no issues. They kind of parted ways easy with one another.
Green Lantern is getting the Superman and Lois director, Toland Krieger, to direct that show.
As should, because that director's doing a phenomenal job right now.
I hope David Ramsey gets a slot in the show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That was someone else I was hoping to see show up at some point, or at least get a mention in the finale of Black Lightning, because that is kind of sort of Lynn's brother now, even though they haven't really, they've neither confirmed nor denied that, but Lynn Stewart is the brother of John Stewart, and if John Diggle is also John Stewart, then yeah.
Booyah.
We've also gotten confirmation that Jeremy Irvine will be playing Alan Scott in the Green Lantern series, which is very cool. And finally, on the HBO Max front, Harley Quinn showrunner has said that Veep actor Sam Richardson has a role in season 3, though they have not said who he will be playing in season three, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen Veep, so I don't have any reference for him, but that's okay. In other news, we've gotten a crap ton of casting announcements for the Netflix Sandman series.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. We have... Where are we here? There's a list. Unfortunately, this article doesn't include the very helpful graphic, so let me get...
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't. That's
it doesn't.
Okay.
But that's okay. I know where the graphic is, so please hold.
I know who the names are. I see the names.
I know you do. So, we got...
Names.
We've got... Kirby Howell-Baptiste as Death. Mason Alexander Park as Desire. Donna Preston as Despair. Razine Jamil... Or Jamal as Leta Hall. Jolie Richardson as Ethel Cripps. I need to make this a bit bigger. Naima Walsh, I hope I'm pronouncing most of these names correctly, as young Ethel Cripps. David Thewlis as John Dee. Kyo Ra as Rose Walker. Patton Oswalt as the voice of Matthew the Raven. Gilbert Stephen Fry as Gilbert, Jenna Coleman as Joanna Constantine, and Sandra James Young as Unity Kincaid.
Ooh, Joanna Constantine. Any reference to the Constantine?
That would be his mother.
Oh,
yeah.
Did not know that. Thank you so much for telling me.
Well, I did not. I wouldn't have known that either, except
she looked it up.
No, I listened to the audio drama of the first three volumes that was released the one with James McAvoy, which is awesome, and everyone should listen to it.
All right.
That is a freaking insane casting list so far. I mean, we already know that we already know about Lucifer and Dream casting, and that just makes this all the more fun.
Bring it all.
Apparently, Joker 2 is getting off the ground. Todd Phillips is reportedly back to co-write the script.
Might as well. The first movie was a huge success.
Yeah, the idea of Joker was established
in the movie.
I'm not sure how much more they can do with that particular character, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, if that was the origin of the Joker.
A new origin of the Joker, anyway.
A new origin of the Joker. There are still his crime sprees, his setting up everything he could happen with his first few years, or even getting adjusted to being the Joker and being a leader in the first few years. And who knows? We could get I could bounce off to, he's been doing it now for 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
And be the introduction of Bruce somehow.
Yep.
Maybe this movie warps into the Matt Reeves Batman universe somehow. I don't know.
Maybe we'll see. Speaking of Batman, apparently Zack Snyder wants to adapt The Dark Knight Returns, which is what we just
watched
the last couple of shows. With a new cast, my first thought is, well, duh, this is a storyline that requires older actors than Ben Affleck or Henry Cavill, so yeah, they would need to recast the roles. I think to make it more realistic for today's standards, unless they do set it in the 80s, even if they do set it in the 80s, I think they would need to have Superman and Batman at least be in their 60s or 70s. But I could be wrong. But yeah, he basically want to do it like Watchmen style and be frame accurate with it. So that would be, yes, please give it to me. Give me. And he has said that he wants Carrie Kelly to be, he's only going to cast Robin if he can cast Carrie Kelly. So,
That's not bad.
Speaking of Zack Snyder and his movies, apparently it was considered to put Man of Steel have it be set in the Dark Knight trilogy.
I'm glad it did not. I'm okay it did not.
Yeah. I'm okay with this. I mean, it would have been interesting because he basically said that if they had done that, it would have been Joseph Gordon-Levitt. As the person taking over the mantle of Batman at the end of The Dark Knight Rises, being Batman, and that could have been interesting, but
it's just anyways.
I'm glad they restarted it.
I'm glad they did too.
Also, speaking of Batman, apparently Epic's Pennyworth has inspired DC's latest comic book miniseries. Ooh. So, that's cool.
I have not seen Pennyworth, but it's supposed to be coming to HBO Max. I may check it out then.
It's so off the rails. And then finally, in our new segment here, this does not surprise me in the least. I'm glad it never happened, though. Disney reportedly almost bought Warner Brothers back in 2016.
Yes.
And thank you for not buying Warner Brothers, because and Mike will not understand this meme as much, but there's the meme of the Enterprise running away from a Star Destroyer, and the caption is, "Faster, Sulu, before Disney buys us too."
Ooh.
And I know. Star Trek is Paramount. Paramount also has not been bought by Disney yet. But yeah, I mean, the meme is not wrong.
Right. It's not. And okay, so when I had posted this in Discord too, I had given my response for it. My response to this news was simply, as much as I do like the MCU, DC, I thought, is a different animal, a sense of tone and story and the mythology behind it. And Marvel, than Marvel was, and the MCU style would not work for DC. Like, you couldn't have the brightly colored, the kind of Cheech and Chong jest and storytelling in DC. I think the reason why, if you want a good example, is go watch Whedon's version of Justice League, and that's what Marvel's version of the Heroes would have been, and we saw what a commercial failure that movie was.
Okay. I do get what you're saying, especially with the purchase of Fox and all of the weirdness regarding where certain Fox properties are going to end up, the more R-rated, explicit stuff, especially Alien and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There might have been a problem there. But at the same time, though, Disney has been pretty good about being mostly hands off with their properties.
Yeah, but I think, I understand what you're saying, and I think that would have worked, but I think with the characters, the mythological stories, and the tone that DC typically has, it's darker, than what Marvel would display. You know, and I've mentioned that the darkest Marvel has ever gone was like Infinity War and Endgame. Like they couldn't go very much darker. I don't think Disney would have been able to properly.
Well, Rogue One went pretty dark too, and that and Disney let them do that. And yeah, I think if Fox had somehow bought up Warner Brothers and then Disney had bought up Fox, there might have been or we might have gotten more huge delays. Who knows? But I also, at least on the comic book side, this keeps the two big comic book companies completely separate.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think that's my main reasoning as well, besides just the tone, is the fact that, you know, if you have one property or one company controlling every property, you don't have any competitiveness. You start to get lazy. You start to have some slack because there's nothing. You're not trying to compete against another. I know it sounds bad. We're never trying to compete, but at the same time, one is going to fall, or one's going to kind of suffer while the other one is getting a lot of credit. And I think with them being able to do it, Warner Brothers is able to say, okay, look, we have this great movie. Oh man, DC's doing a great job on this one. What can we do to try to not mimic that, but what can we do to try to get people to come over here that like us just as much? And
yeah,
it breeds competitiveness. Too much control, too many monopolies breed lack of creativity. And I think it's really good that that didn't happen. So anyways.
Okay. So we're skipping our character profile for this week.
Yes.
Because
it is
done. We're already running a bit long, but since this is also going to be spoiling some plot points for Superman and Lois, we're giving you guys an extra week to watch that before we get into that mess.
I'm pretty excited about this character,
I yelled some expletives when they dropped the names. I went, ooh,
yes, geez. I mentioned to Carrie when we were talking to Discord about it. I said, Carrie, I said, I've got the perfect character profile this week, and I said, I promise it is not Lex Luthor. And then it just goes blank for a second, and then like a day later, I guess after she watches Superman and Lois, she says, ooh, that's a very appropriate one. I didn't know what I was going to do until after I saw the episode, and it just hit me, like, I'm going to do this guy because I want this character so bad.
Good call, Mike.
So, check out Superman and Lois. I promise you, if you have not seen it yet, guys, you really need to go out and watch this show. It is so good. It's got Smallville vibes all over it. It's got not just Smallville vibes. It's got some Stargirl-ish vibes to it. It's got drama. It's got action. Guys, it is so well written. It is so well directed. I cannot brag about the show enough. It is definitely up there with Stargirl for me as my top CW shows right now.
And they are finally addressing Crisis.
Yes.
Yes.
Check it out, and the next week we'll talk about the character that we did the character profile for. So check it out, guys.
Yep. So in the meantime, Mike, you want to summarize our movie for the week?
Yes, here in the Watchtower, we are going to be talking about Superman Unbound. Superman and Supergirl take on the cybernetic brainiac who boasts that he possesses the knowledge and strength of 10,000 worlds. Boom, boom, boom.
And okay, I love when they write the kind of Lois that they have in this movie is my favorite version of Lois.
So good.
Yeah. And I can see Amy Adams' version or Rebecca Romijn's version flipping off Brainiac.
Yep.
I could not see Margot Kidder's version of Lois flipping off
No.
flipping off Brainiac. I couldn't even see Terry Hatcher's version doing right. that. I could totally see Erica Durance's version doing that.
Yes. I could see her doing it. I could see the one we got. You probably already said her name, the Lois we have on Smallville.
Oh yeah.
Not Smallville, Superman and Lois.
I did not mention Betsy Tillich yet, but yes, she would totally flip off Brainiac.
Matter of fact, she probably could have done it last week.
With that stink eye, which
yes.
Her version of the Lois Lane stink eye is just like
And yes, once again I will brag about it again. Seeing Clark Kent struggle as a father on Superman and Lois is the epitome of what I wanted in a show.
Yeah.
I love it. But yes, this moment where Lois flips off Brainiac, best moment in the entire movie.
Yes.
He's just staring at her and staring at the world, like, and she just gives him the bird, and he kind of...
double bird.
Right. She gives him the double bird, and he just kind of raises his eyebrow like, huh. I didn't expect that to see that.
And then Superman goes full Captain Kirk on Brainiac. If you don't understand the reference, see the Changeling.
I don't, Carrie. I don't understand that reference.
Yeah, I knew Mike wasn't gonna understand the reference, but guys, go back and watch the TOS episode Changeling, or any other episode where Kirk outsmarts a computer, and you'll understand what I mean.
Okay. yeah, I don't know anything about the Star Trek. Brainiac was pretty good in this movie. What did you think about Supergirl?
I liked it. She came off, and I know this isn't really related to Batman Superman movies, but it came off as a logical, you know, next step in that evolution of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked what they did with her. It was good.
I agree.
I liked watching her deal with the trauma. Not that I ever want to see people in trauma, but yeah, watching her have to deal with the trauma of, you know, what happened to Kandor, of having seen what happened to Kandor, and knowing exactly what Brainiac is capable of, and just, you know, not being able to handle it. I mean, she is, as Lois said, you know, she is a teenage girl.
Yeah. It's a lot for her to go through. It's a lot for her to process.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I kind of was a little upset that and I understand how long ago this movie was, but I am disappointed we never really got a solid sequel-ish style to this movie.
Me too.
It would have been nice. That's not to say it can't happen.
Especially given the end credit scene. Or mid-credit scene.
Yes. I'm not...
Which Mike skipped.
No, I did. I watched with the cube lighting up in Fortress of Solitude. I saw that mess. Don't get on that crap.
Hey, I've had to remind you of enough mid-credit scenes over the last year.
And you would think that, and you would think I would know after these 10 years of watching Marvel movies to always watch
mid-credits. And DC movies.
Yes.
Sometimes that happens.
I'm sad, not that we can't get it. I do have one critique about this movie. I was not a fan of Matt Bomer playing the voicing Superman, Clark.
That was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't the greatest Superman voice. It was fine.
I do find it really cool that we get both him and Stan Katic back for Justice Society, but in different roles. That was kind of awesome.
So I still need to see Justice Society. It's coming up on our list. It will be on our list.
It is. And the casting of John Noble as Brainiac was perfect.
Oh, it was so good. He was such a good act. It was such a good character.
Oh, yeah.
His voice was perfect for it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, our next movie then, Carrie, is there anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, our next movie is Batman Arkham Asylum.
Assault on Arkham.
Assault on... Why did I say Arkham Asylum?
I don't know.
Assault on...
I can't read, guys.
It's a long night.
It's been a long night.
Yes, Batman Assault And we're not done. We still got Enter the Dojo coming, guys. Check that podcast out, too, guys. Batman Assault on Arkham. I'm pretty excited. I've never seen this one. And I believe after this one is the Harley Quinn and Batman one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yep. I like that movie. Mike does not.
Hey, I may like it after I go back and rewatch it. I don't know. I didn't like it the first time I watched it. I may like it differently after. Just let's give it a shot. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, Carrie, what do you think we head out for the evening then?
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And like always, we are part of the Random Chatter Network. Go to randomchatter.com for all of our other podcasts and shows and more information about our network. So until next time, everybody, peace out. Have a good one. And don't get shrunk into a miniature city.
Yeah. Or let Brainiac blow up your planet.
Yeah, stay.
Yes, because we have the kind of power to stop that.
We do.
We do.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Bye, guys.